Last Saturday, we had our RCIA retreat for all those who are becoming Catholic here at the Basilica, and especially those who will be baptized and confirmed and receive the Eucharist for the first time at the Easter Vigil next Saturday night. We chose for the retreat content a beautiful presentation on the seven last words of Christ on the cross, which is published by Magnificat. There's much that I can say in praise of that publication, but two statements in particular in the book's meditations really moved me. I think they can help us understand more deeply the scripture readings that we've heard this evening and the essence of what we commemorate here on Palm Sunday. The first of those two statements came from the fifth word of Christ on the cross, which is, "I thirst." Now, "I thirst" is not actually recorded in St. Mark's version of the Passion, which we've just heard, but rather it's in St. Luke's. In Mark's version, we're only led to understand that Jesus did have great thirst as he hung on the cross, and so Mark says, "One of the bystanders ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink." The statement in the Magnificat meditation so moved me that I want to share you with it here now. It says this: "Jesus thirsted for the glory of God and for the salvation of the world. Since he came into the world, he had been so tormented and consumed with a desire to compensate for the infinite offense against God caused by sin and to open to humankind the source of forgiveness promised by the prophets, that the approach of his bloody torture on the cross, through which all things on heaven and earth would be reconciled, brings him mysterious comfort." Jesus actually longed to drink the chalice of his suffering that would win the world's salvation, although he also dreaded it in a natural way in his humanity. Our Lord overcame his dread of the passion through his prayer on that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Though he had told his disciples that his soul was sorrowful even to death, he found the strength to fulfill his mission from his communion with his Father in prayer. And so he was eventually able to say, "The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go." The second statement from the seven last words that I'd like to share with you comes from what is counted as the sixth word: "It is finished." Again, this is not recorded as such in Mark's account. He only says that Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Either way, Jesus had finished the work that his Father had sent him to do in this world. He had carried it through to the very end, and thank God he did. The other readings from the scriptures that we've heard this evening indicate that God had preordained everything that needed to happen so that humanity would be redeemed by the exchange of his Son's life for ours. In the gospel before the procession at the beginning of the Mass, we heard how everything that Jesus, the Master, needed was in place for him to use. There was the colt that was tethered, the man walking by with the water jar, who had everything ready in the upper room to celebrate the Passover. In the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, we heard the eerily accurate prophecy of Jesus' humiliation and torture. But he, that suffering servant, would say with faith and complete resolve, "The Lord God is my help. Therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame." This Holy Week is all about Jesus. We follow his every step, and we mark his every word. We try spiritually and liturgically as the church to be with him. Even though those moments of his passion occurred 2,000 years ago, they are ever present to him in eternity, and he is comforted by our willingness to stay with him. But this Holy Week and our remembrance of the passion is about us too. If and when we configure our lives after the pattern of our Master's life, we can participate in our own salvation and the redemption of this world. We are, after all, by virtue of our baptism, part of Christ's mystical body that suffers. And so we are invited in these most holy days ahead to remember, as he did, that God is our help, as he was his son's, and we will not be disgraced if we resolve to carry out his will, to complete his plan for our lives, whatever that may be, and to the very end. As the beautiful Christological hymn in Philippians says of Christ in our second reading, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him. Anyone who is willing to give his or her life away in love, in small ways as well as in large ways, will share in Christ's glory. So the second statement I mentioned from the seven last words is the one that most moved me, and it's the one that I'll leave you with. It said, "A thousand times blessed is the Christian who, at death, can bravely and honestly say within his or her heart the words of Jesus to his Father, 'I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do.'" My brothers and sisters, knowing Christ's infinite love for us, which we commemorate during this Holy Week, and which is made present for here every time we celebrate the Eucharist, may we all be able to say that we have finished the work that God has given us to do in this world.